Wolf, get away from those sheep.
Bollocks.
You're listening to the Wolf and the Shepherd podcast, broadcasting from Fort Worth in the great state of Texas. Now, get ready for this episode of the Wolf and the Shepherd.
Welcome to this episode of the Wolf and the Shepherd. Today we have with us Josh Whalen. Josh, glad you could join us today.
Glad to be here, boys. Thank you for having me.
So, Josh, my first question for you is, why do men hate going to the doctors? But before you answer that, I want to give my background on why I hate going to the doctors. I grew up with a very love-hate relationship with doctors, in that I love Doctor Who, the kind of British sci-fi show. But I hate going to the doctors because of my grandmother. And my grandmother was a bit of a gypsy, in that, well, she genuinely was a gypsy. She was nomadic. Her and like her relatives like traveled around in caravans doing like odd jobs and all that type stuff.
So that's actually real?
Yeah.
Like gypsies in England?
Oh,
that's
real?
That's not like from a TV show?
No.
Or anything?
No, I thought that was fake. No. Yeah. So she was an actual gypsy. And so she had some alternate type medicinal treatments for ailments, which probably should require a visit to the ER. And so she kind of taught me to have this, I don't know if you'd call it healthy skepticism for the medical professions, but right up until where I am now, like in my 50s, I still don't like going to the doctor. And I think I can trace it back to her. But as a whole, men don't like going to the doctors. We'd rather run it off, sleep it off, drink it off, do something else. So from your point of view and everything.
But see, I don't like going to the doctors for a completely different reason. And my reason has always been, you know, you show up to the doctor and you have an appointment, let's say 3 o'clock, right? And so you show up a little bit early and you're sitting there and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting and you never really see the doctor until like 3:30, right?
Yeah.
And to me, that part sucks. It's like, okay, your time somehow is more valuable than my time. I don't like that. If my appointment's at 3, I get that, yeah, I got to fill out some paperwork and I'll show up there early and get that done, but why can't I see the doctor at 3 o'clock? So like you say, sleeping it off and all of that, I just rather not go. I mean, I've got to be almost incapacitated. So
yeah,
I do like the question though. Like why is that like a men thing?
Well, that's
like,
a bit,
we always have our own
excuse. That's a bit
selfish
on your part though, because you could be turning up and a woman could have made an appointment, right? Because she's got like a sore lower back. She gets to the doctor, lifts her skirt up or whatever, and she's got the equivalent of like an orangutan's arm growing out of her ass. So it might take a little bit longer than the original scheduled 10 minutes.
That's probably true.
Yeah. So sorry, Josh, go ahead. Why do men hate the doctors?
Listen, this is the billion-dollar question, right? And, you know, we've been marketing to men for a very long time. I think it's a few things. First, it's a studied fact that men are just less apt to go see the doctor. Women are far better at taking care of their problems, far better at putting solutions to those problems. But you know, I think there's a little bit of masculinity that's involved. I think there's past experiences. I'm a guy that if I go shopping, I get in and get out of the shopping center. If the experience sucks, you're going to be less apt to do it. But you know, I think the masculinity piece is something that really drives men to not go. You know, personal story, my stepfather was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. Great guy, strong as an ox, right? His kind of notch on his belt was he hadn't been to a doctor in 15 years. And all of a sudden he starts having these weird bowel issues. And finally went and saw the doctor, and the news that we got was, hey, you got stage 4 cancer. So, I think we have to, you know, put that shield down and just, you know, whether it's, you know, every 6 months or every year, you got to get some rhythm to just be doing this proactive preventative type care. And, you know, to your point, I'm not a huge fan of traditional medicine. I'm not a huge fan of Western medicine. The process sucks. It's cumbersome. We've all sat in waiting rooms for hours. I mean, I came from a military family. My dad was over 20 years in the Army. So we were dealing with TRICARE type facilities, Army based type medicine. We were lucky if we were in within an hour late. So that's not a coincidence. I think the healthcare system here in the United States is rather broken, especially when it comes to preventative and proactive care.
I don't think it's broken compared to England, because the NHS, the so-called free health service in England. I once went in with a broken leg, and this was a Friday. I broke it in the afternoon playing soccer, and they told me to come back in on Monday because they didn't have anybody to see me. So I went home with an untreated broken leg, not wrapped, nothing, and just laid on my bed with it elevated for like, well, right until Monday. And I went in Monday, like just after 9 o'clock, and I didn't get seen maybe till like 2 in the afternoon.
Was that like the equivalent of the ER or like going to a orthopedist?
We didn't have specialist kind of people. We didn't have orthopedists and back people and all that stuff. We just had the doctor. And you went to the hospital. That was it.
Wow.
Yeah. So well, that was it.
We're definitely not the only broken system. You know, there's a lot of holes, a lot of improvement. And then you start mixing in, you know, modern day commercial insurance, and it just gets even stickier and messier. And, you know, the unfortunate thing is I've been in this industry for 14 years, everything from spine devices to pain management devices to owning and operating clinics. It's not getting any better. The bigger hospital systems are getting bigger. You know, if I had to just, you know, throw some money on it, I think the modern day private practice is going to be gone in the next 10 or 15 years. And that does nothing for us as consumers or as patients. It just makes the systems even bigger.
So you say the modern day private practice is going away. What's causing that?
You know, I don't have the exact answer, but what I can tell you is I think a lot changed when the Affordable Care Act happened. I think hospitals got bigger and bigger through that process. And a lot of it is changing because insurance has gotten so convoluted. There's these things called ICD-10 codes, which is what everybody has identified when it comes to medical billing. That list is pages after pages after pages. It may as be the equivalent of a dictionary when it comes to medical codes. And it's gotten so hard for these private practices to make money. So what's happened is it's just kind of left these guys in ruins, and hospital systems are just picking them up by the dozens at a really, really inexpensive rate. And they just want a paycheck, and they want to clock in and they want to clock out. They don't want to deal with the accounts receivable, the accounts payable of insurance, because it's gotten so hard.
Yeah. So you basically then foresee everything almost like what he was talking about the broken leg, right? You go to the hospital to see the doctor versus, you know, going to this private practice to get this taken care of and go to the ear, nose, and throat doctor for this. And you got to drive across town to go see him. You're saying probably in 10, 15 years, we're all going to go to the hospital. Now, of course, in America, probably see specialists and all that good stuff, but
right,
exactly. go to the hospital versus go down the road to see Dr. Wolf about my broken leg and Dr. Shepherd for my ear, nose, and throat.
Yeah, I think it's a dying breed, guys. I think orthopedists, I think neurosurgeons, I think primary cares, I think internal med docs, I think every specialty will be at some point absorbed through this. Now, what's really interesting is you're seeing the emergence of practices like Blokes and practices like our women's line, Choose Joy. You're seeing the emergence of concierge medicine. People don't necessarily want that, but they're not used to the mindset of having to pay for their healthcare. And I'm in the mindset now, insurance has become the oh shit policy. That's what it's become. And I think we have to start questioning if insurance is covering, is it really the best thing for me? Because I own and operate medical practices. We don't practice medicine the way we want to on every patient. It's often dictated by what big insurance says. And at the end of the day, the only person that's getting shortchanged is who? The patient, the consumer.
Yeah, I don't find that the approach to men's health really resonates with me because it concentrates on a few areas where, you know, you get to a specific age and you have to check for symptoms. Like when you get to our age, you've got to go and get your bum checked every year for some strange reason.
No,
yep.
No,
I don't.
I refuse.
Yeah, I don't do that. I don't know.
But, hey guys, did you hear anything I said earlier? Like, you got to do this at least once a year.
No.
Well, I last went to the doctor when I was 19. So that's been like 33 years, I think.
I went to the doctor when I was probably 22, 23. Yeah. My wife made me an appointment to go to the doctor. I said, why am I going to the doctor? She said, you got to go to the doctor. You got to get a checkup. And literally went in and they're like, so what brings you here today? I said, I have no clue. Call my wife. Right. I really don't know why I'm here. Like, well, you're serious? I said, I'm serious. I'm just trying to please the wife. She made me this appointment. I don't know who you are. I don't know why I'm here, but I'm wasting time. So if you'll give me a note, almost like school, like that I showed up, you know, to make the wife happy, then I'm good. And that's the last time I went to the doctor.
I mean, I don't mind going to the opticians if I feel like I'm going a bit blind and can't see the Xbox games. Right. But
yeah, know. but don't you have to go to the eye doctor with your contact thing? So you got to get that checked up so you can get the little prescription.
Yeah, I don't really count that as a doctor. I'm sorry for all the years of study they've put in, but I don't count that. Like if somebody says to me, when's the last time you went to the doctor? I don't really count going to get your eyes checked.
But that's a doctor.
All right. Yeah, but I don't include those.
What about a dentist?
No, I don't include those. Either.
Oh, no.
I mean, and you've seen Hangout, right? Or what is the movie?
The Hangover? Yeah.
I mean, that's a dentist. Nobody calls him a doctor.
Right. Yeah. But I think a lot of doctor's visits become psychosomatic in terms of the benefit they have to the customers because they believe if they're being treated, then that equates to wellness. Whereas obviously men are very symptom driven and it depends upon the severity of the symptom, which leads them to action. And for most of us, it's like, unless we check on WebMD and it tells us we've got less than 12 hours to live, we're probably not going to go to the doctors. And even then we think, oh, 12 hours left. It's time to get in some cocaine and alcohol.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm pretty sure even if you go on like WebMD, right, if I put in my symptoms every day, it'd probably tell me I have like 9 kinds of cancer and sickle cell anemia. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
No, I listen, there's a white coat mentality. You know, it's a studied fact that people are scared to go to the doctor for whatever reason. It's not always about preventative maintenance. It just may be, you know, I don't want to know what the hell is going on. You know, from my perspective, I'm not a doctor guy either. And I employ them and I've worked with them for 14 years. You know, and we should question everything that these physicians always put forward, in my opinion. But if you're not going to be the doctor guy and you're not going to go get your regular checkups and you're hyper about it, at least be doing something on a proactive basis. Maybe it's once a year, at least running a wellness panel on yourself. And you can eliminate all the white coat pieces by finding the right clinics and the right groups to work with, where you're just going in and saying, hey, I want to look under the hood and make sure everything's okay. And I'm off to the races and I can go back and drink my cocktail.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So kind of throwing you a softball question here.
Yeah.
How does Blokes work into that? How does something like Blokes change our minds and actually make us want to be a little more healthier?
Well, I mean, we try to make the process as seamless as possible. Everything's virtual, right? So you could go on your phone right now in 3 minutes. You could have your basic demographic information upload into our system. You're then going to get an admin call from my team. And you're going to get on the books with one of our providers, whether we deem you necessary for diagnostic labs. That's one thing. But you could be in and out of the Bloke system within a week and getting some type of prescription or some type of therapy or some type of guidance. But I think it's important too to step back just so we can level the playing field. I created Blokes out of my personal experience. This was not, you know, some conjured idea that I said, hey, I think I can go make a bunch of money doing this. I had horrible, horrible advice in my mental health journey. Yeah, I'm sitting here in my, you know, mid-30s, not really sure why so many things are changing. Why am I getting belly fat? Why is my sex drive going to hell? You know, why is my mental fog just more abundant? And I go and see, you know, 2 different primary care doctors, and they gave me both the same runaround. Hey, man, your levels are here. It's within the low side of a range. And let's keep in mind, this is a big range. This is 300 nanograms to 1,000 nanograms for the testosterone level. Well, I was below that 300 nanogram mark, and I'm in my mid-30s, and both of them said I'm in the low side of the range, but I knew something was off. And then finally, I started doing my own research. And keep in mind, I'm in the medical industry. I should know this stuff, right? I found a hormone expert and he said, Josh, we got an issue here, bud. You know, are you getting morning wood? Are you getting, you know, strong erections? Where's your sex drives at? See, you got a little bit of belly fat. We definitely got to run your blood again. And, you know, it was spawned out of that. I said, first of all, I got horrible advice. Secondly, I knew something was off. And then thirdly, the process just sucked. I had to drive 40 minutes to go see a doctor that I didn't know that I got from Google or something to that extent. And I wanted to just make it more seamless and easy for guys, because I know how guys approach these situations.
So I know the Shepherd jumped in there with mentioning the name of the company, Blokes.
Yep.
But when I first read this...
Which basically sounds like you're the demographic.
Right, yeah.
He's going to be our voiceover after this.
But I read the synopsis, and first of all, it just...
Well, hang on. He doesn't know how to read.
It said,
join the club.
Joshua got older and turned to Blokes, and I thought I was reading the autobiography of Elton John for a moment. But can you explain the background behind Blokes and how you got up to it? Because not many people kind of like have a dissatisfaction with a professional service and then decide to improve upon it. So how did you jump from where you were into something which is apparently going to revolutionize, you know, the way healthcare is aimed towards men?
Well, I mean, it really starts with the process and what I went through. And then secondly, it started with my personal journey. I mean, I sound like the MyPillow guy saying, you know, not only am I a customer, I'm the owner, blah, blah, blah. But that truly is what happened. I mean, it revolutionized my whole outlook. It gave me a vigor or zest that I didn't have for a long time. I turned 40 in a month or so, and I haven't felt better in probably 10 years since my rugby days. You know, so that was the premise of Blokes, and the name, it's simple for me. One, you know, I want to bring this subject in a more cheeky manner. I want us as men to be talking about this more, you know, whether or not you go seek treatment or not. You know, women talk about their problems all the time. I'm not saying we have to lay them out like that, but we need to be more open about what's going on in our bodies so that we can help other dudes. And if we can do that in a cheeky and fun way, whatever it is, whether it's prostate issues, whether it's colon issues, whether it's, you know, bedroom performance issues, we want to do that.
Yeah. So you kind of mentioned the rugby aspect, right? Yeah. So you played rugby for the Chicago Lions. Was there, I kind of want to know a little bit about that, kind of your experience with that, but in that, you know, dealing with, obviously, potential injuries, you know, rugby's a rough sport, right? Did you kind of get an aversion from going to the doctor because of maybe, you know, some trainers or something like that while you were playing sports that you just kind of maybe felt like they did you wrong or something like that in your injuries through that? Because, you know, I can't imagine you didn't hurt yourself playing rugby.
No, here's the beautiful thing. We had so much care during that process. I mean, we had physios, you know, on speed dial. If we injured ourselves, we knew how to get some type of treatment options right away. So you know, in that sense, I had a relatively good experience. Now, if it was something bone or something tendon or ligament that we knew was off, then it was being expedited to an orthopedic surgeon. And I've had plenty of injuries. I think my jadedness comes from working in this industry for such a long time and seeing the nuances and seeing the fact that we, even as clinics that take insurance, we can't treat patients the way we want to actually practice medicine, allowed me to say, hey, you know what? There's got to be a better way for this whole men's health stuff. There's got to be better access. There's got to be a simpler way. And that was kind of it.
Yeah, I think, you know, especially living here in Texas, most men have the same approach to healthcare as Kevin Costner's character in Yellowstone, in that, you know, they don't want to get treated. And when they do get treated, they want to get off of that treatment as fast as possible. But, you know, without just concentrating on, you know, the main areas of where men's health fails in the later years, like you said, you know, there's a lack of sex drive, lack of focus.
What?
A lack of, I don't know, sex. A lack of sex, I think. Okay. It's depressing, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, it is.
So how do you get men to kind of branch out into other areas of health when it's hard to even get them to take these regular tests for the things they're supposed to in the first place?
Well, that's a damn good question. I don't think there's a golden answer. If somebody's telling you that, I think they're lying. And if they figured it out, they'd be doing really well. Men are just tough consumers. You know, we studied that men take 6 months to make a health decision from the first time they either notice a symptom, seen an ad, Heard a buddy talking about some, you know, treatment that he got. Say, you know, he got his knees fixed with regenerative medicine. Women are a lot more impulsive, are a lot more solution driven. From our angle, it's attrition. It's just constantly saying the same thing, constantly, coming up with new content, constantly, speaking the same message and tone that we believe in so much. So I think it's a lot of repetitive nature. Unfortunately, it's a lot of ad spend, a lot of marketing spend. But that's just the beast we're dealing with.
Yeah. Kind of going along those lines where you talk about the women's aspect, and you alluded to earlier, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of kind of the women's piece. What was that again?
Joy, J-O-Y.
Joy. Okay. So, yep. Basically I'm guessing same kind of service, but the female side of that. So do you find it more adaptable for women to jump on that platform than Absolutely. Men, or do you see like men would rather the telehealth version and the women want the more traditional approach?
Well, it's from my perspective, it's to be determined, right? I mean, Joy is launching in a week. Website is up at choosejoy.co. What I can tell you from our experience is Blokes has been in existence and 40% of our customers are women right now, which is pretty big, right? I mean, keep in mind, we're not targeting women. We're not marketing to women, but women's word of mouth is as powerful, if not more powerful, than all the ad spend we've done on the men's side for Blokes. You know, the story of, you know, your wife or your girlfriend goes and meets her girls for cocktail hour or wine party, and all of a sudden they're doing, you know, the same thing a week later. Every guy knows that, right? I mean, every guy knows about Mary Kay and all the, you know, the multi-level marketing stuff. Women want to help other women. Men seem to compartmentalize this stuff. And it's almost like this, you know, this one-up advantage thing. But women, I think it's going to be good. And, you know, I think they're just as busy. I think they're just as, they want just as much accessibility with ease as we do.
Yeah. Now, during the last 2 years, obviously, with the COVID thing, you know, a lot of people put off visits to the doctors.
Totally.
And telehealth became more of a buzzword around that. People who had never, ever used or even considered telehealth were now, you know, having the regular check-ins over Zoom or whatever with their doctor. But, you know, do you think people do lose out on that personal experience? Or do you think for the majority of people who are really secretly antisocial, it's actually a much better fit for somebody to meet with somebody and not feel so self-conscious, not have to put up with, you know, like Max was saying about having to drive to a doctor's and then sit on your ass there for 45 minutes while he takes out that orangutan's arm from the lady's bum and all that type of stuff. So, you know, do you think this is perfectly fitted towards how we are as a society are embracing that kind of, not quite yet a metaverse, but this more kind of ease and comfort in interaction over a video screen rather than sitting right in front of somebody?
Yeah, let me answer kind of your first thought or point. I don't know if I would have done this in an online virtual manner if COVID didn't happen. It would have been considered, but COVID expedited this whole online virtual care, right? To the extent that some people don't think they're getting enough for their bang, absolutely. I mean, some people are just gonna wanna go into clinic. They're gonna wanna see the doctor. They're gonna wanna see the PA, the nurse practitioner. They're gonna wanna feel everything, feel that experience and know that they're getting the right type of care. Why that happens, it's probably been ingrained in us for years. You know, the latter part, I think, is really interesting. You talked about metaverse. We were just talking about this today. There is nothing in society that is bringing us together. I mean, if anything, social and the metaverses of the world are actually bringing us apart. And you know, to the extent of telehealth or online visits, it kind of goes hand in hand with that. Do I like it? No, but you know, I'm not going to sit on the sideline and just watch it go by. I think we're going to embrace it and try to do it better. You know, we spend a lot of time with our patients. And one of the things that I pride myself on with our team is we try to build long-lasting relationships and partnerships. You know, and it might just not be even men's health. It might just be shooting the breeze and talking about what they did over the weekend or what football game they were watching, so that we can, you know, maintain long-term patients.
Could you see kind of a an addition to the service where I'm thinking about somebody like my father who is not, you know, very tech savvy, right? I mean, he has an iPhone, but he's never done a FaceTime call or anything like that, right? But actually point them in the direction to kind of the old school deal. Like, you know, do you have an option where it's like, I like what you're trying to do for me, blokes.com, but I still want to see a person. You know, it's like that angry thing whenever you call a customer service line and it's like, talk to a person, talk to a person. You know, do you have a talk to a person button where it's like, you know, see a person, see a person, see a real person?
Sure. The one thing I hate about where we're going and all this stuff is the automation, right? I mean, I don't care who you are. You can be your dad. You can be us. I mean, the last thing anybody wants to do is spend hours or, you know, long minutes on the phone waiting for some type of scheduler or some type of appointment. So we're trying to blend that world to the extent that we have that version where, you know, we have that brick and mortar clinic. We don't. But I can tell you, we get this question often and we refer out all the time. I mean, it's nothing for my admin to go, let me get on Google and find, you know, John Smith in Texas, a clinic that might work for him. You know, it's not something that we're going to shepherd to the extent of, you know, spending a lot of time, but there's a lot of business out there. There's a lot of patients out there. And at the end of the day, we still are trying to do the best thing for every patient.
Right. So we've got a scenario. The Shepherd and I decide we're going to visit Kenya. There's not much on the menu. We eat some monkey brains, contract AIDS, go on your telehealth service. You tell us we've got AIDS. What happens next?
If you had AIDS, we would send you out to some infectious disease doctor. That's right. For sure.
So you don't actually do any kind of, do you
think, why am I going to Kenya with you?
Air miles.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. You can't just keep flying from here to Denver, mate. You've got to go somewhere further afield.
Yeah,
probably not Kenya. That's just an example.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's really worth catching AIDS to get the extra air miles.
That is a good thing. That's, we'll talk about that later. Maybe just go to Florida.
You should have planned this ahead a little bit better.
We'll go to Florida. All right, we've gone to Florida. We've drank some dirty water, and we've obviously got some type of internal bacterial infection. Yeah. So once the diagnosis is made, you then direct us to local practitioners who then follow up from then, or are you able to actually write out a prescription or give us something where we can just go and take care of it?
It depends on the situation, right? We're an inch wide, mile deep in men's and women's health, right? But it doesn't mean our providers aren't trained in functional medicine or primary care or general practitioner. If it's something that's not so far out of our scope, we help every patient. I mean, we wrote medications for strep throat, you know, because it's a patient of ours and it's under our care. To the extent that it's something beyond that, we'll certainly make sure they get in the right hands of another provider. I mean, for example, today we had a woman sign up that, you know, we might've caught a really big health scare. You know, we sent her back to her primary care and told her that she probably needs to schedule an appointment with her oncologist because she had cancer issues like 4 or 5 years ago. And she's gone this holistic route to where she's kind of said, you know what, I'm done with doctors. I'm going to try to heal myself from the inside out just naturally. But there was a substantial amount of inflammation. Her white red blood cell count was off, and we made sure she at least was very aware of that. And we made sure that she got back to her primary care and hopefully her oncologist, but we'll start with her primary care first.
Yeah. So I'm kind of looking along the lines of, you know, I sometimes go to the mechanic, right? And my car has this problem. And it's like, I know what the problem is. Can you just do this? And the mechanic always wants to say, well, you know, let me diagnose this. Let me look at it. And 80% of the time I'm right. 20% of the time I'm wrong. So in your kind of service and looking at myself and I'm like, I know I've got strep throat. Can you just write me the prescription for this? Does your program kind of work that way where it's like, okay, you know, yeah, we believe you and yeah, we agree with you. Yeah. So it could actually help men say, you know, hey, I know what's wrong with me. I just want the medicine and I know I can get better medicine from a doctor than say Walgreens or CVS.
Yeah. The only thing we won't do is opiates, right? I mean, if it's an arm length transaction, you're a patient of ours, you're in some type of men's health program, whether you're on testosterone or peptides, you know, if it's something relatively within the scope, we'll absolutely take care of you. So I mean, that's we know that a lot of you guys, you know, me included, probably don't even have a primary care doc, right? Don't have an internal med doc. And the last place you want to go is to an urgent care or an emergency room. We know that. And that's part of the service that we just provide. So.
Yeah. So the $1 million question, or thanks to the president, the $1.1 million question, taking into account inflation. What's the cost structure like compared to visiting a regular practitioner?
Well, if you compare us to other men's health clinics, I think we're very competitive. You know, our TRT program is $149 a month, includes all your labs. You know, so that, and we do anywhere from 5 to 6 labs, depending on the individual, per year. And we believe in more markers, not less. You know, one of the things that drives me nuts in this industry is it's all about testosterone when there's so much else that goes into the body. I mean, we're talking complete blood count, complete metabolic panels, PSAs, SHGB, all these crazy markers that we need to make sure you're on your way. So that's really our starting point. And then you can get, you know, as biohacker, as Ben Greenfield as you like, to just our standard package, but it's pretty competitive. I would never compare us to any traditional primary care doc because they're just insurance-based. We're cash pay, and we have a lot more leeway and liberty in what we do with you guys.
Yeah. So you said TRT. What does that stand for, and exactly what is that?
Yep. Testosterone replacement therapy. It's literally that. So what we focus on is optimizing guys like us to a level that we think is optimization versus ranges. So we're replacing the testosterone that may have dipped over the years through the natural aging process with some type of, you know, testosterone supplement. And there's a few forms that you can look at. One is pellet therapy injections, and there's two ways to do that, subcutaneous or intramuscular. The other ones is sublingual troches, and then creams. We focus on the injection side. We think we get the best results there. Clinically, it shows that it's almost a superior spell. It's maybe at superior. The jury's not fully out, but that's our standard method. And then we can prescribe anything we want based off the patient preference.
Now, what's your relationship like with, you know, clients, customers, whatever you want to call them, after they've gone through the initial telehealth visit? Is it something that you kind of remind them every 3 months or 6 months or to a year to kind of, you know, make contact and let's get an update going? Because men are, again, notoriously famous for just dropping things. You know, we'll embark upon, you know, losing some belly fat, then when it doesn't work in like 24 hours, we'll go back to eating pizza and stuff. So, you know, how do you maintain that relationship with somebody who perhaps is reluctant in the first place to even, you know, start on a program like this?
Yeah, it's a good question. Here's what we found. First, if you are on testosterone replacement, it's within our protocols that you're having quarterly visits, no less, and you're having quarterly blood draws. What we have found that most guys who are slow to take the first step often become the most eager to know what their levels are once they're on the program, because we're talking guys that were feeling, you know, for lack of words, like crap, to now feeling like they were in their, you know, late 20s and early 30s. So we have it built in our protocol that we have to maintain some type of relationship. And if the patient, unfortunately, if they don't want to do that, it's kind of, you know, not within our purview of malpractice to treat them. I mean, we want guys to feel better, but these are, the testosterone is a controlled substance and we have to act like it is. So.
Yeah, probably about 87-88% of our demographic who listen to the show are males. And, you know, from the age of, you know, kind of late 20s up until mid 50s. And, you know, a lot of the listeners or viewers probably don't hear when they should get in touch with a doctor outside of our least favorite thing, you know, the finger up the bum thing. So how do you kind of like make men more aware that these things are more important? Because I think the issue is we get so oversaturated with being told this is important that we almost kind of internally rebel against doing it. Because it's like, you're not going to tell me to go to the doctor and have a finger stuck up my butt just because it's written in a medical textbook, which was printed in 1972. How can you, through, I guess, not perhaps through blokes as such, but how can you kind of change the approach to make it more simple, because I think that's another thing. I don't want to go to the doctors because I've had a reoccurring headache for, you know, 9 weeks and him concentrate that I've got some dry skin on my elbow. Yeah. I mean, how do you kind of get rid of all that fluff? Because men don't want to go there because they've got dry skin. They're not going to go there because they've had a sore arm for a week and then it goes. They only really want to go when the serious stuff kicks in. So how do you kind of make yourself separate from the, I guess, the rest of the medical industry, which seems to take advantage of every little ailment you could possibly get?
Yeah, it's true. And then, you know, when you even get to that point, you might be getting bad advice. You know, I think you have to keep it simple, right? I mean, the KISS mentality, keep it simple, stupid. And the more we can do that, the more we can eliminate that fluff. And listen, we talked about this earlier. We're an inch wide, a mile deep in men's health. You know, we want you to be healthy in other areas, but this is what we're going to focus on. And I think it's our job to eliminate that hassle. You know, we've partnered with LabCorp and Quest. So we have, you know, 3,500 locations that you're in and out for your typical blood draw. We've engaged a service that can come to your house and do a blood draw. So we try to keep it as simple as possible. You know, there's a little bit of work, but, you know, to the extent of what you're doing and what you're getting in return, I think it's far outweighs any bit of that cost or that time.
Yeah. So I'm kind of curious because I'm really lazy with haircuts, and the place that I go get my haircut, whenever I'm done, I go up to the cash register thing and I check out, and they always say, let's go ahead and set your next appointment, because if I don't do that, I'm going to forget until my hair is way too long. And then I'm like, oh man, I need to go get a haircut. And the place I go, it's like 2-3 weeks out or whatever. Is there some kind of feature in your, you know, program or your website or your product that says, hey, we got you taken care of. By the way, we're going to take care of you. We're going to take this hassle off of you. You're going to set this in your calendar, and then bing, you know, your phone goes off and reminds you, hey, it's time to come see me again.
Yeah. I mean, one nice thing is our CRM and our EMR, electronic medical records, are all integrated. So, you know, to the extent it's so much is patient dependent, but we can make it as simple and as easy as possible. I mean, that's what we want to do, but we can set appointments out a year in advance that coordinate with our providers and your calendar to know, hey, 2 days before, I got to go do this, or I got this appointment with one of the medical doctors at Blokes. You know, a lot of times guys will say, I mean, this is just the nature of us as guys. I don't know what I'm doing 3 months from now. Don't worry about it. But for me, I'm like you. If it's in my calendar, just like a dental appointment that I get once every 6 months, I know I got to make that appointment. So that is how we try to make it easy. And then, you know, by having these, you know, quarterly checkups, it usually helps us do that.
Now, I'm probably 100 times more likely to use your service than going to an actual doctor. So again, for our listeners and viewers, can you just explain step by step, if somebody's watching this, listening to this, and they want to use your service, exactly what they would do as soon as they finish listening to this and they want to sign up? Can you explain how it all works?
Easy. Go to blokes.co. We couldn't buy the com, by the way.
So I screwed that up when I said blokes.com. No, so it's blokes.co. Oh.
You know what? I want to revisit why we had to go with blokes.co, and we'll talk about GoDaddy and how it's a big scheme. But
blokes.co. Now hang on. Maybe we need to talk about that first, because maybe towards the end when you're giving your spiel and everything, you can, you know, explain how this works. But now I got to know, how is GoDaddy a scam? Because use GoDaddy, so now I'm scared.
Me too. I do too. Here's where it's this gift that keeps giving back to GoDaddy. Anytime you type in a website, or, you know, let's say it's the Wolf and the Wall Street, or the Wolf and the Shepherd, and you don't buy that, they bank that, and then they own it, and then they sell it back to you. So we had the opportunity to buy blokes.com. We sat on it for about a couple of weeks. It was not taken. We went back to it. We couldn't buy it. And then we go back to GoDaddy, and they said, we won't take any opening bid until it's $15,000. So then we just said, you know what, screw it. We're not going to do that. We're a startup. So we just went with blokes.co. But that is the nature of their business. They're a search engine that banks anything that they're searching.
Yeah. See, I remember back in the day, you know, I'd go to a bar with a buddy of mine and we'd sit there and we'd talk about like ideas or whatever. And we'd be like, oh, you know, I wonder if this website's available. And I always thought back to that and said, you know, for the whatever it is, when you find something right and on GoDaddy, it's what, like $9-$10 or whatever to register the domain for a year. It's like, you know, for what I'm spending in the bar, I ought to just buy one domain a day and then somebody's going to come along and probably want it. And honestly, when we started the podcast, I was shocked that the wolfandtheshepherd.com was available. And when we were talking about the name of it and everything, and even literally before we had decided we were going to go ahead and do it, I'm like, I'm just going to go ahead and buy the domain. I mean, it was like $10. And I'm like, I might as well own the wolfandtheshepherd.com because it's kind of a cool sounding domain anyway.
Totally.
And, you know, maybe I can resurrect Aesop because of the fable and all of that good stuff, or maybe just put the Aesop fable on the website, throw a bunch of ads on it or whatever else.
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying though, because you would think like, first of all, let's back up. I'm surprised blokes.com was even available whenever you saw it, right?
We were too. My wife and I were sitting there looking at it and we're looking for names and get blokes.com and, you know, choose blokes.com. And we're like, holy shit, is that actually available? And we go, I don't know if we want to do that name yet, you know, because we're debating on a couple of different names and sure as hell, you know, 2 weeks later, you know, that thing was gone. It's probably worth more now, you know? So it's so random. And that's one of the interesting things about picking businesses and their names now. It's you got to go hunt the URL now, too.
Yeah. I'm sorry to interject there. No, so now, yeah. Seriously, now walk us through how it works when you go to blokes.co.
Blokes.co, there's plenty of action items that say schedule your online consultation. All we're going to ask you for there is your basic demographics, where you live, who you are, height, weight, et cetera. Then my admin team will call you, schedule your labs, and then you're off to the races. This process can literally be as quick as a week. If you're an ambitious patient, most guys it's more like a 2 or 3 week process because they don't want to go get their labs. But once they go do that, it's really quick. We ship our meds out pretty much within 24 to 48 hours of actually writing the script. So,
yeah. Have you had any pushback from the traditional, you know, pharma distribution networks, otherwise known as doctors? Because, you know, a large complaint, especially over the last, I guess, decade has been, you know, that doctors overprescribe and they misprescribe drugs for things they really shouldn't be prescribing in the first place, regardless of your condition. But there's a lot of money to be made in that. And a lot of, obviously, backhanders go on between pharmaceutical companies and doctors. We're not so naive. We don't know that.
That doesn't happen.
It doesn't sound real, but it's real. So, you know, do you have a pushback? Do people try and demonize telehealth as in, oh, it's not as effective as going to a real doctor? They're just amateurs. This is a new science. You shouldn't trust it. Because I can imagine older people.
You always trust the science.
Right.
Trust the science.
Even if it changes every day, trust
that's
the
right.
science. Yeah.
It's for the greater good.
Yeah. So somebody like Max's parents, I mean, you know, well, not yours, a little bit more discerning, but I mean, a lot of old people have, you know, the news tells them, oh, don't use telehealth. You know, it's not going to diagnose what's wrong with you because, you know, you've got a lot of TV shows sponsored by Pfizer and everything. And of course, they don't want to ruin their cash cow. So have you had any pushback or some bad mouthing by bodies which have a fiscal interest in you not being successful?
Yeah, I would say it's more on the guy who doesn't offer telehealth, right? I mean, it's the clinics that are, you know, fully brick and mortar. I think you're going to be a dinosaur in any practice, in any hospital system, if you don't start picking it up to some extent. And I think, you know, there's going to be some people that are set in their ways that say, you know, telehealth, that's the route I want to go. I will say, to your point, I think there's more pushback on testosterone replacement than there is telehealth. And my experience being in healthcare for as long as I have, if they don't know much about it, or if they've trained in it 20, 30 years ago, they don't treat it. And when they don't treat it and they don't know a lot about it, it becomes this natural impulse or instinct to say, it's not for you, it's not good. But you got to understand too, like the people we're fighting are not about optimizing. They're about throwing a pill at a problem while we are trying to optimize individuals and do what's best for them and heal their body from the inside out. If you're sitting at any type of doctor visit and they're talking about ranges, you should start saying, well, what are these ranges and what is the difference between the low side and the high side, where we just talk about optimization every day in our clinic.
So you talked about going to the lab, right? And you got to go to the lab to have a blood draw or whatever. I got to be honest with you. That's kind of where I would stop. I'd be like, okay, I'm literally doing this out of convenience, and now you're telling me I got to go somewhere. Yep. Is there been any talk about sending somebody out to me, a nurse that, can show up to my house, my office, and say, hey, I'm here to draw your blood. I know it only takes a few minutes, but I mean, I'm lazy, so I don't want to drive there. Is that an option?
Absolutely. We signed a contract with another group called Get Labs, and they're basically like an extension or an affiliate of us, where they provide a phlebotomist, medical assistant, nurse to come to your house and do the draw right wherever you are. I mean, they'll do it at work. That's going to be a really big thing for us. We are in the process of evaluating blood stain cards, and the reason I'm not anti-blood stain cards, but they don't pick up as much as what we want from the patient. So we're going to really push hard on this concierge service where it's coming directly to your house. The fortunate thing is Get Labs has just got a ton of money, a lot of funding. They're going to be in every major city by the end of this year. I think they're in about 30, 40% of all the major cities in the United States. So most of our customers we can take care of just like that.
So what about partnering with maybe like small to medium sized businesses and saying, hey, not only can you do the telehealth, you could, make your employees healthier. And, if they need this blood draw or the nurse to come out and go ahead and draw the blood, they can do it on site. Have you considered something like that, working with, small to medium sized businesses, or honestly, even large businesses?
Sure. I think you're seeing more and more businesses start to think proactively for their employees. I would love to do it. It's right now it's kind of a divide and conquer thing. We have found that it's often best to go direct to the consumer in our situation. That said, there's all kinds of angles we could approach this with.
Right. So I know you're looking at us and thinking, yeah, those two are the picture of prime physical health. But what you can't see from the outside is obviously the mental health.
Stop looking at my belly.
Well, I can't help it, mate. It keeps creeping over here. It's invading my personal space bubble.
But that's why we have the camera angled this way so we can hide our bellies up under the table.
I thought you said you were going to use some special effects to make me look ripped.
I said that, but I haven't done it.
Yeah, because I can't see it unless it's coming through on like when it's released. I still look like a fat git.
No, you don't have the proper update to YouTube.
Oh, okay. Well, so how do you deal with mental health? Do you actually have that as something which you address, or is that something you keep steer of?
It's a great question. We are strongly considering adding some type of mental health component. It's a completely different space, but they kind of go hand in hand. What we would say with most of our guys is, well, let's check out your hormones. Where are those at? Where are your testosterone levels? Because we know that low testosterone can lead to different mental issues. And just, your cortisol levels, all those things that we want to check. But it's a hot topic right now. We're considering it because I personally just believe in it. Even if it's just coaching or one-on-one venting, I think it's going to be a big field in the future. But it is something we're considering strongly right now.
Yeah, I could honestly see like going and seeing a psychiatrist or psychologist or whichever one it is that you sit there or you lay down on the couch or whatever and tell them all your problems. You'd probably have a lot more people that would do it via Zoom or via Skype or something like that than you would, especially on the men's side, right? Because it's like, well, I don't want my buddy to see my car parked outside of the shrink's office, because then he's going to say, oh, you know, I saw the wolf parked outside the shrink's office. He must have mental problems.
Yeah. You know, there's a couple of groups that are doing this right now. One big one is Cerebral, and I like their model. I like what they're doing. They got a lot of funding behind the brand, but they're doing essentially what we're doing in the psych space. And I imagine you're going to see a lot more of this. You know, same reasons that you're seeing a lot more virtual in men's health. You don't need to go in and see a doctor every time. And certainly there is that stigma, like, hey, I just walked out of the penis clinic. You know, is there something wrong with my penis? And same thing with the head clinic, right? You don't want to be that guy who's identified that way. And I think there's some power and some discreetness when it comes to this stuff. And you know, the more telehealth advances, the better we're going to be at that piece.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's like checking in on Facebook, you know, going to the shrink today, you know, or going to the penis clinic or whatever. I don't see too much of that, except out of you.
Are there penis clinics?
I don't know. That's the first I've heard. So apparently there are.
There's a penis clinic.
Yeah.
Well, that's the bro talk, right? That's the bro science, man. I'm not going there.
Yeah. I thought the penis clinic was like in Nevada where they're legal.
Well, if that's going to go hand in hand with a proctologist exam, I don't really want to go.
Well, no. Depends on which one of those.
Somebody might take advantage of me. I don't want to be kind of like, wow, that finger feels a lot thicker than it looked when I walked in the room. Yeah, right. I don't want to do that.
No, I see that.
Yeah. So what's the aftercare past, you know, making, scheduling, follow-up appointments? Do you kind of follow up with... you know, trying to get people to live healthier lifestyles, because obviously the easiest way to avoid ill health is to actually try and be proactive in terms of getting exercise, correct nutrition, avoiding things or excess of things which cause bad health. So do you have much of a follow-up program with that when you've...
Yeah, we do. I wouldn't say it's like pen and paper, but you know, that's what a lot of our consults become, talking about healthy habits, nutrition, you know, what's new in their life that's causing stress. And the beautiful thing is everybody that works with us, I mean, most of them are trained in functional medicine. So if something's off, they're trying to figure out what's going on in the rest of your body or what's your environmental factor. So those are daily conversations that we're having with our patients.
Tell us a little bit about Kinetic Medical.
Yeah. So I work for Stryker. I think I told you guys that. Maybe I didn't, but I work for a large medical device company called Stryker. It was in their interventional spine division. So I was calling on neurosurgeon to ortho spine, interventional radiologist, pain management physician. So I worked for those guys for about 4 years. I did well, and I wanted to see if there was greener pastures out there. So I left Stryker and started my own med device distributorship. That spawned into a lot of different things, from spine implants and, you know, pain management products to regenerative medicine to, you know, anything you can think of that focuses on, relieving pain.
Gotcha. So, glad you could join us today and fill us in about all this. Can you give us a little spiel here as we close? You know, the website's .co now, not .com, and ways to get a hold of you, your social media, all that good stuff.
Sure. Yeah. It's as easy as going to blokes.co. And, you know, if I give any guys a piece of advice, you know, we all may not like the doctor, but it's always something good to just do some type of proactive or preventative type care. Even if it just starts and ends with a blood draw once a year where you're getting certain markers checked, we'll be happy to help those patients. And I'm always available for your audience at josh.blokes.co to answer any questions and get you in the right hands of anybody.
Cool. Well, hey, Josh, thanks for taking some time out of your day to talk to us. We really appreciate it. We'll check it out. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please click the little subscribe logo down there. It does help us out, and we will catch you guys on the next one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Wolf and the Shepherd podcast. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address, thewolfandtheshepherd.com, to your friends and colleagues. And please leave us a positive review on iTunes when you get a chance. Check us out on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for additional content. Join us next time for another episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd.